Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 54 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
You sound quite tired, Paul. This is the Tri-Wiz Recap episode.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
The follow-on from the stress test.
Yep.
And my stress was tested at the weekend, I will tell you.
Well, it's going to be an interesting podcast with two points of view on that.
No, I'm not saying it was a bad event. No, you sound... Anyway, so Paul's on nights again. It seems like he is the day sleeper.
Yeah, I'd rather not be, but it seems to be the way.
Well, it's good preparation for the little one, keeping you awake at night. It's like, this is war. And you're getting your painting done?
Yes, I am, yeah, because at work I found this few niche of time to, like, paint while on my breaks, so that's what I'm doing. Because I took the last unit in that I didn't get finished for the Empire in to work last night and just carried on working on them.
Good. So, right, apart from the Tri-Wiz, which is obviously quite a big event in the week in wargaming, what else has been going on in Paul Land in the last week, apart from work, Nike chips, and painting,
well,
and work?
Lots of painting. I mean, I got to the point where I was one unit off, but I stayed up off my last night shift on the Thursday going into the Friday. I didn't go to bed. I just stayed up and carried on working on it all. And I got it to one unit left to do, which, and obviously I didn't touch up any of the older stuff, which I would have done given time, but yeah, it was pretty much good enough, close enough really. And, but I have played it. I've played what is a game of Guild Ball in the league. So I played that yesterday.
Superb. Mm-hmm. So how did that go? Do you want to tell us?
Yeah, it's fine.
What were you using?
I was playing his Masons, like, has been doing, like, into his, what was it, Alchemists, which are a pretty good team right now. But, yeah, I mean, I've played Guild Ball a bit more than Rodders, and I just ended up coming through at about, what was it, 12, 10, I think it was. In the end, yeah, I just managed to, like, didn't let him take out any, no, 12-9, didn't let him take out any players bar the mascot. But he was close to scoring, though. It was a very tight game. So.
Okay, so Alchemists are the one that bypass your armor, because they're...
Well, they have a lot of effects they put down, you know, like, which doesn't matter to armor, it's just my defense. And they've got some pretty nifty players in there, like I think the original Alchemist team captain, you know, he's like a striker, you know, like, was, you know, his captain, and he can score goals when he's got the ball pretty easily, you know, and he also had a very decent other striker. So I, you know, throughout the game, he'd scored two goals, and it was like he was close to threatening for a third, but he couldn't take out any Masons in melee, because I just would heal them and keep their armor strong.
Sounds exciting, sir.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's, you know, it's Guild Ball practice, a bit of... I mean, I'm playing Guild Ball to a level where I think I'd lose to like a hardcore, like, pro of it, but I can play to an okay level, I think. You know, like, I keep using the same clutch of guys, you know, like, in my team selection, so, like, I'm getting used to what they can do.
That definitely helps. And you're still using the armor SKU build.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that is kind of what Masons is. But I haven't yet... I've never played a game without Honor yet. So I keep using her all the time. Just so I'm getting quite... I mean, like, she pulled off a really good activation in Rodder's game where she, you know, took two players off and took the ball. You know, like, it was quite nice.
Good girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anything else in wargaming world? Just to let everybody know, it's Tuesday the 21st, about quarter to two. We're recording later than usual, and we've only got an hour before I pick up the kids. So
I've got to go and mail some stuff in and meet a friend in town for coffee. So that's why I've only got the hour as well.
Mail some stuff. You've been eBaying, Paul?
I have been eBaying a lot, actually. Just clearing out my cave, really. Like, you know, because Hannah was like, when the in-laws were here at the weekend, you know, wanted in, you know, to underneath the stairs. And then she was like, basically, she didn't want anything of mine underneath the stairs. So I'm just like creating space. And it's good to, I find it almost like quite lethargic, as in, like, as an interesting thing that I'm making myself put something on eBay every day, no matter what it is, like, just looking for something to put on eBay. And most of it has sold for, like, what I'd expected to go for. One or two things haven't. Like, those Warmaster Great Eagles didn't sell, yeah, interestingly. But
old metals?
Yeah, yeah, they didn't
sell. The painted ones?
Yeah, yeah, they didn't sell.
What kind of money were they?
I just put out a bid for a tenner, yeah.
They're worth a tenner in the bare metal.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I guess it just goes to show that painted stuff isn't always worth any more than
metal.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
Metal.
I mean, I might really. I mean, who knows? There's no rush, is it? Because my eagles are off in if off in Poland, and I got the I sold the Stormcast Eternals like for 30 quid, so it's like it's not as if it was a lot of money I spent on them. And I got what else? I've got Simon's brought my Dark Elves back, you know, a commission painted job.
Yep.
Which is really good. So after I've finished like working on my Empire bits, I've got a project to base the whole of the Dark Elf army, which will be good. And I gave him a list of all the other things I want him to do. What else have I done? Oh yeah, this is interesting. Other night I played Adam, went around his house and I was flat, and we played Dungeon Saga, Mantix, like dungeon crawler. And it was like Warhammer Quest Lite in a sense. It was like this is very Warhammer Quest. You know, not as simple as like Hero Quest, but not quite as complicated as Warhammer Quest. And I was like, and the models were nice, so like, you know, like all nicely posed, and like they had some nice mechanics in it, and also monsters like a zombie troll, for example. Like the quest is an undead quest, and they've got undead other races, like undead dwarves, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Which is like, that's quite cool. Yeah, anyway, I was quite impressed by it as a package, and so much so that I thought, oh, if I can float my Warhammer quest for the same price, I could exchange them, because my copy of Warhammer Quest is a bit battered. It doesn't have any of the monsters in it. I play it with like tile tokens and bases to represent them. And because as much as Warhammer Quest is good and complicated, that is also a drawback to it. It's no way near like how easy this pick up and play Mantic game is.
I did play the first edition. I think it was called Dwarf King's Hold or something.
Yeah,
that wasn't particularly good at all. That had very little longevity to it. But if you wanted to buy this, what's it called now? Dungeon Saga. I know a couple of people at the club went absolutely balls deep and bought everything on a Kickstarter and one shot of them.
Yeah.
So you might be able to pick it up like relatively cheap.
Well, I mean, there's tons of expansions for it out already. Like, I mean, I don't know, but I don't know when it all came to sale. You know, like, but anyway, what I'm saying is I was quite impressed by it. So I've stuck my Warhammer Quest on eBay with the starting price to what it would cost to exchange it, and it's already got bids on it. So there you go. That's something.
Warhammer Quest is a rare commodity, sir.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I looked online, and yeah, complete Warhammer Quests, yeah, box sets, they go for a lot of money if they're in good condition. Well, mine's two copies plus mashed together, and it's not in great condition. But but it's still getting bidded on, so it's still going to sell for what I wanted to sell it for, which is quite nice. So it means I can swap it. And the other like big seller has been, you know, I put my list of End Times books on there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, well, this is for Fantasy VIII, which I don't, you know, is a dead. I'm not playing anymore. And like, these are nice books, but they are just books, your supplements to a game system I'm not involved in. And they've been bid on for £100 plus.
Wow.
Which is quite good. That's like three times more than I would have been happy to let them go for. You know, like, so somebody came in there and bid 100 quid.
Wow. Well, I guess the kind of thing that they limited release, don't they? And then they're gone.
Yes, exactly. And as I say, like, it's a shame because they are really nice things. Like, and certainly the first book, Nagash, is a lot better than the others. But
so what did it to you? Was it the dwarves? Was it the dwarves that did it?
What do you mean, what did it to me?
Well, you know that the dwarves were spoiled last week, the new space dwarves.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I guess we've got to talk about them. Yep.
Yeah, we do. Was that the thing that finally said, well, there is no going back now because there are space dwarves?
Well, no.
I might as well bin this stuff out.
Yeah, it's really more like shelf space and, you know, like me just critically going over stuff. Like, am I going to use that again? Like, is that worth keeping? Is that worth anything? You know, like, you know, because some of the stuff has literally been sold for... I'm barely made any money after postage and stuff. It's like, but it doesn't matter. At least, you know, like, I was going to throw it away. You know, like, so what the hell? But, you know, and it's just clearing up space to, you know, make so I could use the cave more often. And it's like, and the stuff that was Fantasy VIII that I had, well, I don't have any armies for that. I've no intention on getting a Fantasy VIII, like, also a Fantasy army again. I mean, I am being Alex McGee's spare player for his Ninth Age tournament coming up, but I mean, I'll be lent stuff to use for that.
Right.
So it's like, I've no, my game's War Master. I mean, like, in fact, well, as we'll talk about in this podcast about the event, my third game especially was just an instant classic, you know, game of War Master.
So you haven't told me your opinion on the Space Dwarfs, sir.
Okay, so...
That was possibly my biggest What Grinds My Gears ever. I just... I felt like someone hit me in the face with a kipper.
I don't... What were they called? I don't know, like...
I don't give a shit what they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy had a fucking chainsword and a fucking storm bolter.
I mean, if you were playing Age of Sigmar, right, I just wouldn't try to collect anything that didn't come out since the game's come out, which is not AOS models.
But that's exactly what they wanted, isn't it?
Well, that's the same, because those...
They say, go, come and try our game with all your old models, and now we've changed the scale, and now we've changed all the look, and now everything's... Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all garbage, that stuff you brought with you. Now you need this stuff.
Those dwarves are just so out there in design. That's just... I mean... Yeah, there's a guy like a lord on a personal hot air balloon. He's packing a chainsword in one hand and a bolter on his wrist on the other. And it's like, this isn't even fantasy, you know? Like, but it's fantasy, but like, why has he got a gun? like that, you know?
So the amazing thing was how up for it some people were. I mean, like, some people are absolutely frothing at the fucking mouth for this stuff.
And it is a strange one, but it just shows that, because... If you say, okay, so they decided to do a range of models, which are, what are the themes? Pirates, steampunk, you know, like dwarves, like, you know, flying, zeppelin.
Flying fucking dwarves.
You know, and that, all of that is like tick somebody's box, some people's boxes, who are pretty jaded and like you wouldn't think would be so like so in love with it, but clearly they are, and that's what they want to do.
Oh, absolutely. And again, if you weren't invested in it, you could just look at it and say, well, those models are pretty kind of funky, I guess. They're going to be well made as ever.
I mean, I've got too much
baggage to even look at this stuff without.
Speaking of Age of Sigmar, I'm just going to grab the latest White Dwarf because it had a really good article actually about this. So Barry, keep talking for 2 seconds.
That's it. All filler, no thriller. So I'll talk about what I did in this wide, wide week. I played Magic last night, which was a draft. That was quite interesting. I went 2-1, which is a decent result. And we're nearly at, and I've got a couple of boxes of Modern Masters, which I sold my left kidney for. So we might do a Modern Masters draft. And last week I played a game of something. I'm trying to remember what I played. Oh, we played War Machine. We were in our War Machine Journeyman week 3, and I played.
Yeah, how did that go down? Because I was on night, so I wasn't there.
Mr. Eric played Dave, and they looked like they had a ring ding dong of a game.
Ring-a-ding-a-donga.
I played H. Harvey Bombington.
Yeah.
So it was the Winter Guard ranged game Annihilation Fest again.
Yeah.
And I rebooted my army, because what I'm finding is there's so much stuff I want to try that I just have to keep rebooting. Say, I don't want to use E-Haley anymore, so I'm using Pythagrosh. Okay. Pythagrosh, on the face of it, I didn't think it changed a great deal, because... On paper, he looks like he's exactly the same as he always was. But then when you actually play him and you're sat there reading the cards in the game, you realise that a small change on one rule completely changes him.
Yeah.
So he had this rule, I think it was called I can't even pronounce it. Basically what it meant is if he didn't have his full fury, he got a fury. And now,
very nice.
Well, no, that was the old rule. Now, if he doesn't have his full fury after leeching, he gets his full fury. So even if he has no War Beast left, he still gets 7.
Then he doesn't matter to him, does it?
Mm-hmm. So he's effectively a War Machine Warcaster. He just gets all his fury. So come on, I've got my 7 fury, let's go. And you go like, whoa, that's good. Because then like, you can keep a couple of transfers and then toss away your transfers. And that will generally mean that your beasts are now not going to give you enough fury. Because you wouldn't necessarily have more fury than you could pull back. Yeah. Yeah. So now it doesn't matter, because you just top it up anyway. There we go. So it was good. A War Machine is in a reasonable state, although maybe the company's still not in a great state, because the forums died this week, which was a bit sad.
Yeah, we say, and there's no press gangers, and the forums died.
Yeah, but the press gang forum died as well, which was a bit sad.
That as well.
So there was a forum specifically behind a wall for just press gangers.
And
it's not a case of like they, what was the word? They didn't like lock it and then allow it to still be there. They're just like, yeah. That's gone now. Oh, okay. Bye. So since that happened, I haven't been back because I don't know what I'd go back to do. Which is kind of what they want. They don't want like GW. They don't want to deal with forums. Don't bother with them.
Yeah.
So what did you find in White Dwarf?
I'm guessing they felt like it's too much negativity, too much effort.
Yeah, exactly. Too much work. They're having to pay someone to moderate it. It's like, nah, just let's get rid of
it. But also, if it's too much work, then it means that people have used it in a way they didn't want to. So in a sense, like it's been, too much negativity going on with it.
So what's in White Dwarf? Is it a Ben Johnson article?
Okay, No. It's a Guy Haley, actually, called The General's Almanac. And it's about game. And basically, Guy Haley was very looking, considering how long he says he's been around in the hobby, but in his little profile picture. Anyway, he talks about Age of Sigmar. And we were talking, and so today we're mentioning this, like, new dwarves and, like, Age of Sigmar. And it's like, and he addressed it. It's quite frank, actually. I'm quite surprised. It's only 2 pages, so you have to read it next time you're over.
Right.
And it just says about simplicity. And it says, Age of Sigmar leaves behind many of the trappings of the traditional war games behind. And, and it's like, and he's saying it's like, and he's been quite addressing of its issues and like about like complexity. I mean, obviously he's a company man. And he's saying the company line, which is the best thing we've ever done, etc. But I mean, it's interesting because between the lines, he's like addressed some of the issues that people have about Age of Sigmar, and he's like speaking in White Dwarf as a company guy. It's quite interesting to read, actually, about like saying how there's like the headlines simplicity, complexity, where the complexity is built top down rather than bottom up in Age of Sigmar, which is fair enough, I suppose. Scalability, do what you like, and feel the love and rules for all. And it's like
feel the love.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like I'm like looking at it and it's like, but the thing is, even his very article, though, has like a picture of like the like his own army, which is the new Orc Warlord on the Wyvern character. But he's flanked
Megasaurus or something. Surely it's called, isn't it?
But he's flanked by original, like very old now models of orcs and a giant in the background. And it's like, if you were playing Age of Sigmar, it's like anything that has not come out since the games were out. Like, I don't know, like you wouldn't want to collect because that's just not. Like Age of Sigmar is completely out there for like design, and it's just not the same as old fantasy.
Well, that was it. Apparently, nobody was buying the stuff. Nobody bought fantasy as much as people liked playing it. Nobody had ever spent any money on it because they already had their armies.
they're in their armies, yeah.
So and they did try and do things like make things that were good bad and make things that were bad good. But at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. So they just said, "Well, we've got to move away and get new IP."
Yeah.
But the thing that disappoints me is, like, I see people play it, and it just looks like kids. You see kids play with toy cars.
Yeah.
Or kids play with, like, those boxes of toy soldiers they get, and they just, like, smash the shit into each other in the middle of the table or on the car mat or whatever. It just looks like that. There's just, like, there's no elegance to it. It just doesn't even look like a war game. I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I know. And there's some things in it which can be addressed by house rules, but... You shouldn't need to. Like, I read this Bell of Lost Souls article online about these new dwarves. It's like, where the hell do you measure them from? Like, house rules, like, fix it, but actual, in the book, lack of rules.
But there are no rules. There are no bases, are there? There's no anything.
Flying, massive flying. It's like, where do you measure it from? It's like...
Wherever you want.
Because they had, in the house rules that the South Coast, like, GT... He uses as the same rule as they've nicked from War Machine for base sizing.
You see, that kind of thing is that's the road to madness. I think I said that when you said they were doing that South Coast GT in Age of Sigmar. It's like, who the feck is going to keep this stuff under control? Like constantly having to recomp it, like every other week recomping it because new shit's coming out all the time.
Yep.
And it's not even a case of that you have to comp it based on what a thing does, because then they've got all these crazy interactions between different battle scrolls and stuff.
Yeah.
Say, fuck. Good luck to you, fellas. But I'm 100% sure now there is no way I would ever play that. I'd rather give up wargaming than play that.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, I just saw those dwarves and I was just like, wow. If there was a proverbial nail in the coffin, That is it. You know, like, yeah, like, that's what dwarves look like, is it? Right, okay. I like the beard guns myself, personally.
The beard
like,
gun.
He's got little guns in his moustache. Right, okay. And I was like, and then you see that, and you're like playing Total War Warhammer, where you're in love with the old Warhammer world, the world that was. And then you look at that, and you're like, wow, I'm either an old git, or I'm, you know, like, say, accepting the new age, and I think I'm an old git.
See, I can understand that they had a problem defending their IP, but there was genuinely some IP there to defend if they'd bothered.
Yeah.
Because I used
to
play the fantasy, what was it called? Warhammer fantasy role playing game or something.
I played
a couple of editions of that. I think there were three in total. Yeah. But they did have stuff there. There was a world that they'd made. It wasn't all just fucking lifted from, like, popular culture and ancient.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, it's like this dungeon saga, which I was trying the other day by Mantic. That's a complete rip off of Warhammer Quest.
Who cares?
Yeah, what I'm saying, it uses a few different mechanics, but from its ground up, it's like it's completely Warhammer Quest.
Well, why didn't they re-release Warhammer Quest for feck's sake?
I don't know. What they did was Age of Sigmar Warhammer Quest, didn't they? And it's like, well, if you want to play Warhammer Quest, the Age of Sigmar stuff isn't really Warhammer Quest, or it's something different, you know, like, but Mantic have done their own copied version, and it's like there to buy.
Oh, but don't worry, it's a limited edition, and when it sells out, they won't print any more, Mantic.
I don't know, but.
No, of course they will, because they're not insane. It's like, it's like, we've sold out, we cannot possibly print any more, that's it, it's gone forever. It's, what are you talking about? Just go and make some more and sell them. Crazy men. Right, so anyway, that was GW rant. I've been talking about how well they've been doing, but I suppose they've been doing well, but they haven't really been doing any Major Sigmar stuff for a while.
I mean, it's impressive how they can kick out things so quickly. Like, but that is impressive. But, you know, and it's just a bit of a band train that you're on, really. I mean, long way it continues. So, should we talk about the event? Should we do the highlight?
No. If we've done the Week in Wargaming, surely it's time to give a shout out to Mr. KR Multicase.
Yep. I used KR this on Saturday to transport my arm.
I use KR.
I use a KR case to take some stuff in my little hobby box, like, to go to work. Yeah.
I did. I had my big bag with my two kind of, what are they, like half-sized boxes?
Yeah, half bases that can take an army each,
So I had, well, my army was a bit skewed, so I needed a box and a half, but that still left half a box for me to pick up some stuff from Jim and fit in that I didn't even know I was picking up. He just had some stuff on sale. I bought it, stuck it in the box. That's the power of KR.
For anybody else to get hold of it.
I just walked up there and he said, stuff for sale, make me an offer. So I said, Jim, just tell me what you want and job's done, I'll go to the bank.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm a glutton for painted stuff.
Yeah, no, it was nice, and Jim does it very well. I mean, I'd give Jim armies to do if he wanted them. Yeah.
Okay, right. Good. Yes, thank you, Mr. KR Multicase. We'll be coming to see you soon for our next event, no doubt.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Event, the polls, writing the rules for running the competition, rules lawyering, playing, winning. He's doing it all.
Doing it all now. Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to that. I mean, like, after, I mean, because I guess we got to talk about the event, and then we got, like, feedback and, like, what we think of going forward. Yeah,
and we could probably, depending on what the time is, we may or may not have to talk about the rules committee this week, because not a great deal's happened. You told me that five votes had finished, but no votes had finished.
Yeah, leave it for this week, because stuff's going forward, but leave it for this week, and we'll go straight to the event.
Okay, let's do the event. So it was the Triwiz Spring Tournament of Justice.
Yeah, in Saffron Walden, 16 players. It was 18, but two didn't make it because of a bad train journey, I think. So 16 were playing.
Like the train stopped and had to go back.
I know. I was like, what, outrageous. Like,
it's like, this is the age of the train, man.
Yeah. So we all rock up there, like six of us from our gaming club. Which is nice.
It was nice and early, wasn't it? Jeez.
And we're getting to know a lot of other people there as well. There was one or two faces I didn't recognise, but, you know, majority of people in the room I have met before or played before, or like, so it's cool. And they did two rounds random and the last round Swiss. That's what they did.
And there was a massive selection of armies. Massive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got the list somewhere, but 16 players, only one repeated army, and that was Albion. Yeah? Just like, what? Oh, yeah.
So because you had 15 unique races in 16 army, in 16 players.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it, for it? I mean, like, you couldn't almost... It's like you were selling, like, a ticket for a race, you know, and the first one come, first serve. But it's pretty... It's impressive. Yeah, that was... Just naturally for it to be 15 out of 16 variations, possible variations, was fantastic.
Okay. And we were using Warmaster Revolution, full-blooded,
yes.
All optional rules, yep. Everything, the whole book,
yep.
In its entirety.
Which is great. And I took Empire and Barry took High Elves.
Tournament High Elves, because that's all that lives there.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about the structure of the games. So there were no death clocks. It was
no,
a round clock.
Just round times.
So if you can imagine, you have 2 hours 45 as a round time. The first 2 hours are played, and then a bell is rung. And if it's the first player's turn, he gets to finish his turn, and the second player gets a turn. And if it's the second player's turn, when the bell's rung, he gets to finish his turn, and then they decide whether they play on.
Yeah, effectively, basically. Because you've got to have the same amount of turns, that's only fair.
Yeah, effectively, there's like a gentleman's agreement whether to play on after... You can play on for the whole time if you want, the 2 hours 45, but after 2 hours, there's no necessity to play on.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, quite a lot of people instantly... the other thing was that there was a win was by one victory point more than your opponent, unless you either broke them, killed their general, or beat them by victory points.
Yeah, that's right.
So that led to to people being quite harsh with the 2 hours are up, I'm winning by 10 points, that's it, good game.
Yeah, I mean, I managed to finish all 3 of my games in time. I don't know if I was the only one to finish all 3 like that, but I managed it. But my last game was tight on time, as I'll come into it when I talk about my games. But I think that was the rarity. There we go.
So anyway, we could that's kind of framed the event, and then you can talk about your rounds, Paul. That'd be good.
Yeah, so I've taken my Empire list, which I've been playing quite a lot, over the previous months, and
with the Steam Tank.
Yep, Steam Tank Justice, and I was grudged by Steve, and he's good enough to be potential finalist himself, and that he was using dwarves, and I was thinking, well, he's probably going to beat me, anyway, and that'll be, and then I'll have 2 like interesting games with Warmaster because I love the system, and that'll be that. Maybe I'll win one. So our first game was, sadly, Steve was hampered by bad command dice from right from the go. His general passed an order on his third turn. Which was...
That's a leadership pretty, 10 general.
Pretty unlucky.
Having a bad day.
But it showed the difference between revolution and non-revolution, original, because an original, the game would be almost a non-event because he just wasn't really doing anything and I could have done everything I wanted to do. But he could at least react and move forward and bring stuff into range and turn brigades and stuff. So that was like massive. That showed how revolution is just better than original. He did a standard kind of thing of castling in a corner for dwarves. So and I was expecting that, and I was like, right, we're going to have a range battle going on, and I'll look for opportunities as I can. So I sent my pistoliers on his flank that he wasn't anchored by the table side. So then racing. I mean, I think they moved further than his entire army put together, to be honest.
I wouldn't expect his army to move anywhere if he's on a hill in the corner.
So had them racing down a flank. And shows like interesting revolution mechanics. So I was just going for a flank with them to get behind his most extreme brigade on that side. And when he failed an order, he decided to turn it towards the pistoliers. So, and you think like, well, if he can just turn regardless of a failed order, what's the point in cavalry trying to flank? But it's like, but you see, then I'm down trying to get behind him while heavy cavalry are into his front. So I'll get to the position where I've got cavalry both front and behind him. He can't look at both.
Nope.
So one of them will catch him. So it's well worth doing. It's just like you need to do it like 2-for-1 kind of thing. You have to present a unit with 2 areas that it, and better off front and behind if you can get it. So, like, yeah, and that's what I was going for. And I didn't pull off that maneuver at the end because my pistoliers themselves failed an order. But it was, you know, it certainly stopped him. I had all the initiative on that side. Cannon fire was going quite well for me. And I sent my flagellants in on a suicidal charge against his troll slayers just to, like, because both of us had initiative, like, frenzy troops, and I was like, better to get the charge than be charged.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, do some more death before I get deathed. You know, I ended up winning the game, but he was stuck by his commands. I have to say, it's just like, I wouldn't say it spoiled it, it's just he was unlucky. I wasn't lucky, or I think played better. He was unlucky.
Okay. Well, those games do happen.
Yeah, they do. And it's like, when you are at a certain, like, both at a kind of a same level, one of you's going to take an advantage of the other, isn't it? And I was just like, well, I'm going to push this. I'm going to try to win this game. And I sewed it up with about half hours to spare, really. Yeah.
So, and he grudged you, yeah?
He had grudged me. Yeah. But I'd accepted. It was a mutual grudge. Yeah.
Well, I grudged Jim because Alex wasn't the spare man. Well, he was the spare man, so he didn't need to play, because we had an even number. And I brought what was considered a quite skewed bogeyman list from pre-revolution times, let's say. So I brought... Are you still there, Paulus?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying not to interrupt you.
Well, that's all right. I need to hear your heavy breathing sometimes to know you're still there. So we had minimum core, and we had 10 units of silver helms, 2 units
only
of eagles.
10.
Just 10. Well, you can't fit more than 10 in, mate. You can fit 11 in, I guess.
You don't want to push it, do you, Barry?
You don't want to push it. So 10 units of silver helms, 2 units of eagles, a general. I went really ballsy and went for a hero on a dragon with a sword, because why not?
Yeah.
So minimum core, and that was it. So my break was still quite big. I think my break was still 9 or something ridiculous.
Wow.
Which seems crazy when all you're exposing is silver helms.
Yeah. So you'd gone for this big skew list, which, yeah, actually Empire could do. They could do a similar list.
Oh, there's quite a lot of people with unlimited access to knights, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a high up thing, but they do have leadership 10 with the unlimited access tonight.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that certainly is a thing. So so we were taking this firstly to see how horrific it was to play with and against. And to be fair, I'll let you into a secret. It's not particularly nice to play with or against, to be fair. And I played Jim, and Jim used his terrain really well, and Jim used the rule set really well. In like the tournament rule pack, and it came down to I was 200 points up, and he had one turn left because it was on the clock and it was at the end. There's really not much happened in the game, to be fair. I think I was like, because what happens is if you come out in the open you're gonna die. Guess what? You don't come out into the open.
Yeah, you don't commit out. Yeah.
So everything's hidden away from the silver helms where it should be. Because why would you? Anything he did try and charge me with 2 cold ones, and they did maybe kill 1 unit of silver helms, but then they were just absolutely vaporized by like 10 units of silver helms or 9 yeah. that were left.
Yeah, yeah.
And a dragon, just in case. So, what happened was maybe when the clock went off, I was 400 to 200 points up, which yeah. isn't a lot at all. But what the Triwiz allows you to do is if you're that second player, you can then have a turn to try and do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Jim threw a few good orders off, used his magic, because he was using Lizardmen, I need to say that. Yeah. He used his Lizardmen because they got the movement spell to chuck his wizards in, and he had a Croxagore hero on a Saurus, and he managed to break... he might have broken 1 unit of Silver Helms and got my dragon, which was enough to flip the victory points from him being like 400 to 200 down to being enough to win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that happened like as soon as he'd done that, the clock ended and we had the 45 minute extension. And to be fair, Jim was quite willing to play on. But I said to him, Jim, you've already won. You can only lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't win any more.
Yeah.
Then you've already won. So if you play on another turn, you can only lose.
Yeah.
Which I think, in hindsight, and I'm sure Jim and Alex are going to look at this, maybe there needs to be a minimum victory points for it to not be a draw.
Yeah.
If you don't win by maybe 200 points, then it's
200
not,
points,
it's
I
not,
think, 2,000, yeah.
Two, like 10%. If you've not won by 10% of the victory points available, then it's not really a win, is it?
Yeah. Too close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so fine, Jim won that one, and well played, Jim. He well deserved it. He was... you could see that the list rattled him a little bit. I don't think he enjoyed playing against it. I think that goes to... For all three of my opponents. So that was it. I lost my first round, which means I can now relax. And let's go to Paul's land.
So the next random round, I play against a guy called Mark, and he's using Dogs of War. And he has a very similar army, really, in design to my Empire. So obviously he hasn't got a steam tank, but he's got pretty much opposite numbers of brigades, you know, like a makeup to me. But I mean... I know, because Mark was talking to me about the podcast and stuff. So, like, hello, Mark. Thanks for listening. You know, his birdmen, he sent them off on, like, interesting maneuvers, but, like, go put them behind. He'd had the first turn and he put them behind my lines.
We're talking about Dogs of War birdmen here.
Yeah, Dogs of War birdmen, yeah.
What, the world's worst flyer?
Yeah. So, and I was like, I could see what he's trying to do, I suppose, like, give me negatives to command, but it just meant I could just catch them, you know, like, so I just, like, I basically, like, my knights move around behind them again and then just piled in on them. And so,
Home them back? Or did you make two orders or what?
I got one in the first turn. He didn't home back the second time, and then I could catch the second one. The other thing he did, which I was thought, well, why has he done that, was his galloper guns, because I've got cannons. His galloper guns he brought out well out in front of his army, like really far out.
Well, it's because they've got shitty range, haven't they?
Well, yeah, and to bring them into range or something, but that just allowed me to take them off as well. Okay. So I didn't really understand, like, he pushed things out unsupported, you know, and that put me, because we had the same... breakpoint pretty much, that put me ahead on break, and it allowed me to then piece exchange quite freely, like for like, because I was ahead.
Okay, so do you think he was a relatively new player? Because I'm not
criticizing what he's
doing.
It's
not a criticism. It's a thing. It's not a criticism, is it?
I think I've played more recently. Let's put it that way. I mean, we play quite a lot of Warmaster. And I was keeping my army together while he was willing to send it off in components, and I could concentrate on the components.
It's one of the things that puts me off playing Dogs of War is how shit those galloper guns really are, because it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant that they're cannons. The problem is they're range 40, and they shoot once and then they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, like, it would have been hard for him to guard them, like the Dogs of War doesn't have a point defense gun, you know, so it's hard. Like, how is he going to guard them? They have to be firing opportunities. They can't be leading. You can't bring them forward and, like, right, I'll outrange my opponent because they haven't got a long enough range.
No, I mean, you only need an extra. Somebody could walk forward 10 centimeters and shoot them with guns regularly.
Well, and that's kind of like what I did, you know, like
crossbows.
But there, in the first game, the steam tank, as I thought against dwarves, didn't do much because they don't have cavalry. This game, it proved it's well worth. So I put it opposite his three units of cavalry, and it just got in the way. Basically, it was always the initiative charge target. And when he sent it into it, it never came close to losing. And it just, like, held. I never advanced with it. I never, like, pushed it forward. I just broke charges up.
Well, that's its job, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And I was just like, in this game, it was like this glorious steam tank against, like, these, like, mercenary knights, you know, like, who are the same as Empire knights, just couldn't get through it. And I was just like, I made sure it was always the initiative target if he went for initiative. So if he didn't go for initiative, he'd have to give orders.
Okay. No, that's good. That's what it's there to do. I'm glad to see Empire seem like they're working, and the changes don't seem overpowered, but seem like they're doing what they're meant to do. So that's good.
Yeah. So that, I mean, because yeah, like I mean, I would say, like, in fluff wise and stuff, I suppose, like, Dogs of War are probably tiered a bit below. They're like, you know, but I mean, he has things that I don't like ogres and stuff. But I managed to make it not matter because once I'd taken off the galloper guns, I had the range of the game. And I was just peace trading at will, really. And so I won that one with an hour to spare.
Well, how's he going to take down your cannons with those birdmen?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, he could have tried, but I don't know. Like, I had a Hellblaster, basically, like, waiting for that to happen. And he doesn't, well, he doesn't have a point defense gun.
So, I'm tempted to bring two of those Hellblasters. I think they're good.
Yeah, well, Steve had brought, had broke his dwarf artillery into two lots of one set unit of cannons and one flame cannon. He put that twice separate from the battle, you know, like in the first game.
And how did that work?
Personally, I would mass the cannons together. So just when they hit something, they hit it hard.
Just to delete one thing a turn.
Yeah, like, or do enough damage. You make sure you take a stand or something. But spreading them out, like, you know, was just a different tactic. Not one that I've chosen to do, but that's not, you know, so, you know, but when you've got 2-point defense guy, it was a different build to a dwarf. I mean, it was like, okay, so I'm going back to the first game again. But so in the second one, I would, like, in wrestling terms, like, the first one was your standard, like, you know, raw kind of matchup, but like was head outside interference. The second matchup was like, yeah, it was a champion like smashing like through a jobber.
I won't go back to it though.
My third one would have been the instant pay-per-view classic.
Okay, wrestling quotes, wrestling analogies. That's the word. So my second game, if we're there, was against Dan, Handsome Dan, yep. The man. Using chaos, it's quite a heavy chaos build, so lots of warriors, only a couple of knights because they're fucking expensive. And we played on an absolute. It's a lovely table.
Yeah,
it's a table that we've seen before. It's a table that's won an award, I think, at one of your events.
Yes, right? It has. Yeah, because it is lovely.
It is lovely, but my God, there is a lot of terrain on that table. I mean, I did think when I was given that table, so fair dinkum, if you bring a cheesy shit 10 cavalry list, 10 Silverhelm list, and you get put on a table full of woods and buildings and stuff, then that's your problem, mate.
Yeah.
So, but oh my God, there was a lot of terrain. I mean, like, without a word of a lie, it's more than 50% of the table was covered with terrain. It may actually... 50% of the table was covered with woods, it seemed.
Yeah,
and the woods, and then there was a couple of sets of buildings and stuff, and some hills, and anyway, Dan had a bit of stuff to fight with, so he had some harpies that they obviously can't go in the woods, so they died, and chaos knights, they can't go in the woods, so they died, but he did play it really well. That even when I was killing those pieces, it was in the wooded area. Which, if you can imagine, like half a table, like north to south, on the right-hand side, was all woods. So I was having to kill his stuff in the woods, which allowed him to then swarm and kill my stuff.
Yeah.
So he came out of the woods, killed my stuff, and then went back in the woods. So it was a really close game, and he really exploited the terrain well, and he exploited some of the Revolution's rules, which maybe we'll have time at the end to talk about well. And I lost, but not by many points again. It was maybe about... I don't know, maybe 100 points or something. But it was a really, really, really good game. It was skewed a little bit by the fact that there was a lot of terrain. But to be fair, his army was balanced, so...
Yeah. Yours wasn't, was it, Barry, really?
No. So, as I knew, anything that came out of the terrain got a good shoeing.
Yeah.
But the stuff that was in the...
What did he do with his Chaos Knights?
What do you mean, what did he do with them?
Well, like his Chaos Knights and Hounds... So,
his Hounds were hidden in the corner. They were miles away.
Yeah, they're not going to get involved.
What are they going to do?
So what were the Chaos Knights doing?
They were trying to pick a fight with the Silver Hounds, but when the Silver Hounds come, they just... It doesn't matter that you're 4-4-4, because you've got to kill two knights to break even, haven't you?
Yeah.
And they can't do it. They're good, but they're not twice as good as Silver Hounds.
Yeah.
Not when you put a dragon in as well. So the knights all went, the harpies went... Some other bits and bobs went, but overall, his Chaos Warriors, especially under Revolution, were more than good enough when they were coming out of the trees to take on the Silver Helms.
Yeah.
So the Silver Helms come crashing in, they do some damage, but they might not even win the combat against the Chaos Knights, Chaos Warriors, because they're supported and they're quite tough. And they were in column and stuff. So it was a good fight. It was a good fight. I enjoyed the game a lot, even though the terrain was a bit wonky.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. So,
Then we're on to Swiss. I was a bit disappointed round two wasn't Swiss, because that's always a bit wonky.
I think personally it should have been, but never mind.
Because you can get some really silly game twos.
Mark had lost to Sherwood in the first round, and then he was put against, like, I'm not saying like I'm so much better, but like it was like he should have played another person who had lost, you know?
Yes, yes. Because what it can do is if you don't Swiss round two and your tiebreaker's victory points, then if somebody, a really strong player, plays a really weak player round two, that can skew the victory points and therefore skew who wins the tournament.
Anyway. So to third round, I get Jeff, who I always enjoy playing. I'm on the, not table one, I'm on table two. So like we're like sitting in third and fourth position, playing off against each other. And I had Empire and he had Orcs and Goblins. So
I love Orcs and Goblins. Jeff's always playing cool stuff.
Couldn't get a more classic matchup. And he'd gone for no Rock Lobbers. He'd gone for a lot of Orc Infantry. He'd gone for the Crown of Command. He had a breakpoint of 12. It seemed a lot of models on the table. You know, like, as in Orcs. And I was like, right, we are in for a good humdinger here, provided, like, none of us gets hampered by real bad luck. And we just went back and forth at each other.
What about Goblins? How many Goblins? That's the interesting...
Eight Goblins.
Eight? Eight? Is he fighting with them?
Yeah, he was involved in using them. They were around, giving support. They even formed alliances and stuff of their own. They were there.
Fighting?
Yeah, fighting.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah.
And filling in gaps of his line, basically. And he'd spread his cavalry around. Like, there was a lot of individual cavalry units about. You know, like, it, and he had a reserve. Like, I was using my knights as my strong reserve, say, in the center. He had some chariots and a boar. But he had two units of boar boys, and they were spaced out. So it's like, the way he set up was, like, different and stuff. He, like, really mixed it all up. You know, it looked like an Orc and Goblin army because it was like bits of it all over the place. You know, it's like where's the cohesion? Like,
we don't need cohesion. We fight.
So what happened was, is I'd had my pistol. So I decided, right, I'm going to attack center and right and try to fend him off on the left. So I sent my pistoliers on a sort of delaying action. And you know, in Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, where Faramir is sent out to ride against Osgiliath by Denethor, it's like, just go out there and take that city you can't take, you know? And he's just sent off to his deaths.
Well, I think it's a bit sadder than that, isn't it? Because his dad tells him he's a cunt, and then go off and die, please. My real son's already dead.
But yeah, okay. Anyway, that's kind of what it felt like for my pistoliers. I was like, off we go, we're getting orders, off we go. And it's like, there's a lot of Orcs and Goblins on this side of the table. What can we actually attack? Like, I was looking at it, I was like, I was trying to do the maths in my head, and I was like, I made a blunder with them. They went part charging straight forward, but I didn't want them to. So I was like, uh-oh.
Pistoliers charging, they're no better than Chaos Hounds.
Sorry?
When the pistoliers charge, they're no better than Chaos Hounds, apart from they've got six of armour.
They've got five up armour, pistoliers.
Oh, they've got five up?
Yeah.
That's Empire armour, I guess.
Not too light cavalry. Yeah, like their standard cavalry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it the Dogs of War that have that silly six
of
armour?
Dogs of War have called light cavalry, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Carry on, sir.
So, and in my centre, I was... Because I pushed into... I was like, how to attack him? Like, he was everywhere. So I was like, right, I'll push everything into crossbow range and just start from that. Yeah, because normally the Empire plays kind of defensively, but I was like, I was going for, you know, I wanted to engage him because I had a lot of break to get through. You know, like I have to fight for this. So I was pulled him into range and started shooting, etc. And we just had a fantastic game, instant. Like, so without his artillery, I was like, right, like target that unit, then that unit, you know, like as like once a turn. But his center was held by a hill of lots of orcs and what goblins on a hill. And I just crashed my cavalry into the middle of it, into the center of it. Just like I did three charges over three turns, basically, trying to force these, like attritionally trying to get these orcs off this hill. And it was just really good. Like, you know, say like wrestling terms, instant pay-per-view classic, this one.
So apparently Jeff said he should have won. So what went wrong?
Yeah. So at the end, we've been fighting it out. 2 hours is coming up. And we have this interesting rules dispute, which is quite... So Jeff's much a gentleman. He was arguing something for me, and I was arguing against myself. I was like, I don't think I can do that. And he's like, no, I used to play Ancients a lot. You can. And I'm like, no, I'm sure you can't. And it's like, it was the opposite. Instead of like us arguing, like, it was the other way around. Like, yeah, anyway. So very good spirited game.
what was the issue? Can you remember the issue?
It was basically I had some cavalry fight his cavalry, and I had a unit of Empire infantry come on the corner of the cavalry, and so when I beat them back and pushed them back, and I pushed my cavalry forward, I was like, okay, so my infantry have to make an advance move because I can't chase. And it's like, no, you can chase because the only position you can get to is the flank. But I was like, but Jeff, they weren't in the flank. They were in the front. And it brought a back and forth debate. And he was insistent that I could do it. And obviously I said, well, Jeff, I mean, I would do that if I can because it only advantages me. But I was pretty sure, like, no, I can't chase you. So anyway, it was something to look up in rules later. It didn't make a big difference overall. The tail of the game at the end was, so I'm down, I'd gone the first turn and I'd been doing stuff every turn. So I've got the lead on this and I'm down to a break and a half and I need to catch four break off him in my last turn. And I committed all my troops, planned out the attacks and all right, that needs to happen, that needs to happen, that needs to happen. One of them involved me having to, I charged a unit of crossbowmen into a unit of orc warriors. I sent a hero in as well, but we were same attack dice. Well, I've got one extra because of the hero, but his orcs have a 6-up armor and mine don't. So I was like, this is incredibly dicey. Like if I pull that win off or not, because I need all to count all these units to win. I didn't win. He beat me in the first round quite badly. And advanced on my crossbowmen and destroyed them, and then decided to. So his unit's in fresh. I hadn't done very well at all. It's down to 2 stands. But he decided to advance it, into a fresh unit of halberdiers. Without the charge bonus. So, like, in they go, and I'm like, I'm going to come up on top of this. Did. And then when I'd beaten that unit by him allowing me to, in a sense. And then that unit of halberdiers could then make an advance move themselves to get into the last combat I needed to win. And their numbers certainly helped me push that combat. That was pushing goblins out of defended wood, in a wood.
That's very orcish bloodlust.
Well, that's the thing. As I said, like, it was, time was getting tight, and I said, we have to play this round and we have to play your round next because to make it fair, to make turns fair. And I think he saw red and he realized the moment he'd done it, he'd made a mistake, but he'd moved the models and like it is a tournament, like you can't take it back.
He could have charged with his initiative next turn.
I mean, basically if I wouldn't have broken him without that unit, and in his turn, he had loads of opportunities. Like he could just pick I only had a break and a half. He could just easily catch that from like really one-sided combats.
Okay. Well,
If he had won, he had enough VPs to win the tournament, pretty much.
Yeah, he did. He did. That is the truth, Ruth.
So, I mean, I have to say, he had my number. That Orc and Goblin list had my number. He had my number. And he made a mistake. And it's like, I did win it, but it was because he lost it.
Yeah. Well, the impressive thing is he managed to do that through your Empire cannons because he had nothing to take the cannons out with.
No flyers, no artillery of his own. So
the cannons were there all game.
Firing away, didn't get threatened. They got some Wolf Riders got close to them, but I shut that down.
Wolf Riders. That Hellblaster's going to sting against those
Wolf
Riders.
Again, my steam tank came to my aid there because putting itself as the initiative target, as the advanced target, and Innie tried it with a unit of chariots, and it just bounced off it.
Impressive stuff, young Skywalker. And unlucky Jeff.
Totally. I mean, he should have won, but he didn't. So I finished with 3-3.
3 wins, and you came second.
I came second overall, because Nick was playing Sherwin in the top table. Nick won, very close game by the sounds of it. Nick had more VPs than me, so he takes the first place. And that's quite right, because if you won on the top table, you should win the event. Okay. I was really happy to take a prize because I thought I'd win one game over the three, and I won all three and came second and got a trophy and a drinking horn.
Drinking horn. Have you used the horn yet?
No, I did intend to. I intended to down the curry house afterwards, but I was going to put some port in it, but it never happened.
Never happened. And Ian playing Araby came third.
Yes, that's right. Because he had 3 wins as well. Because they hadn't done they hadn't done Swiss both rounds, so it ended up with three players having three wins. I had more VPs than him. And that's where I finished. So how about your last game?
Well, my last game was a bit of a non-event, unfortunately, because I got left on the same table. And even after me questioning, you know, like, because there were eight tables available.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I mean, I'm playing on this same table, and this table was hard work, I'm not going to lie, for a cavalry army. But unfortunately, this time, I'm facing, like, a heavy infantry army with virtually no...
The heaviest infantry army.
with literally nothing to fight. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is going to be bad. So, we roll off for turns, and I win. So this is right. So this is how the game's going to work. I'm going second. So come the two-hour mark, if it's in his turn, I get a turn. If it's in my turn, it's a draw. Because he can't come out of the woods, and I can't go in the woods.
Yeah.
So I've lined up my silver helms, literally 10 units of silver helms lined up, aimed at the woods.
Yeah.
this half table of woods.
Yeah.
So they're all lined up, all in a lovely long line, 10 of them. They're more than 30 maybe they're 30 centimetres away, or more than 30 centimetres. Anyway, they're just waiting for him to come out, and he's going to have to work hard to get into them. And even if he gets to them, a line of 10 units of silver helms is quite hard to fight through.
Yeah.
And not get swarmed when they come and hit you on initiative the following turn. So I'm going second. When the clock goes... If it's if there's any time left, then basically what's going to happen is I'm going to have to send my silver helms off to try and catch something, anything, with its toe sticking out or hidden right in the back corner or whatever. There was a couple of bits that were hidden right in the back corner that maybe couldn't go into the wood. Oh, no, he had his berserkers hidden because he didn't want them to be drawn out of the woods. So hidden right in the back. So basically there wasn't a game to be had. And we played maybe four turns... And, like, literally nothing happened, because there was... I can't go into the woods. I cannot physically do it.
Yeah.
And he can't come out of the woods, because if he comes out of the woods, he's going to get creeped.
He's not going to leave the woods, yeah.
So it's like, well, we're either going to sit here for 2 hours waiting for the bell to toll and seeing whose turn it is, or... Yeah, so I said, well, it's not worth playing. This game isn't a game.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so I said, I gave him the game, and then I went and...
I didn't know that you had played it. I thought you had called it before you even began.
No, I played like four turns. And it was literally,
fair enough.
And we were talking about it, and he said, look, this game, I can't come out the woods. I said, well, I can't come in the woods. What do you want me to do?
I think what I would have done is I would have, okay, so since we've got nothing else to do, either of us, why don't we resign in the result and then play on a completely open table?
You can't play on an open table, can you? That's the point. Because by this point, right, I'm fully under the understanding that this list is horrid. Horrid to play with and horrid to play against.
Yeah.
So if you play on a table with no terrain, you're going to get ruined.
Yeah.
How are you going to stop these?
I mean, like, literally just that you hand your result in and you just do something for fun. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we did. We went and we kind of watched games and chatted and stuff.
Okay.
I tried to borrow an army off somebody.
I was busy concentrating all my attention on Jeff. I know something had happened, but I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the only disappointment was that my feedback is a bit skewed about this list, because there was only really one game to base a judgment on.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think going forward then... you finished dead last, didn't you, Barry?
Dead last, sir. Dead last.
Well, you should get some violin music playing. Suck you, high elf. Oh, are you using high elves? Aren't they like the best army as well, Barry?
I tell you now, and I stand by it, anything that put its foot outside of a piece of terrain was dead.
Yeah.
Dead. His family was dead. So his dogs were dead. His cats were dead.
So, serious point here. Do you think for a tournament then, say in my winter roller pack, I should put in stipulations on the table for how much scenery is on the table? A guide.
I think there needs to be some kind of limitation.
Yeah, I think so, doesn't it? Because this proves it. So,
I mean, I counted 11 woods on that table.
We'll talk. So what we'll do is...
And they're not small woods. They're 11, like...
They're lovely, though. Well, like, we'll talk about a scenery cap then. Like, what a recommendation for a tournament table should be.
6 to 8 pieces.
I think you're right. And what that makes... I think 3 hills, 3 woods, something else, yeah, personally.
Well, 6 to 8 pieces, as long as it's not... eight woods.
Yeah.
6 to 8 summings. Because even if it had been hills, then yeah. I mean, it's a disadvantage hills. For horses to get onto hills.
Yeah.
But they can still do it. They can, but once it, when it's like when you've got 11 woods and you go like, hang on, I can't go in any of these woods.
Yeah.
And they're all in a big line. So it's like. Anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is.
So I came second. You came last.
Thank you. Like, that's the only third time you've said that.
Yeah, I'll just say it again. All right, so we all rock off, the six of us, for a curry, and we invite Stephen in, and we would invite anybody else who wanted to come, which is really nice, and we like get some beer, and we chat, and it's all good. Yeah.
There were some very interesting things that came out of it, because it was called a stress test, because it's only when you play in a tournament and people start finding the little chinks in the armour and pushing at it that you actually see how things work in a tournament.
Yeah.
And some of the things in Revolution really, really lower the power level of the Silver Helms anyway.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, so there you go. So what you found is, A, that list isn't, like, so unbeatable. B, we should tables should have some limit guides on what sort of scenery you should use and what it should be, like a standard.
I didn't say it was unbeatable. I said you need to recalibrate. I mean, there are some techniques that I've discovered, like, over the weekend. And, for example, if I hit your brigade with my Silver Helms, and you've got a unit of 3 halberdiers in column.
Yeah.
And on the front, you've got your archers.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about this in the forum, yeah.
So... And I hit you hard in the front with my Silver Helms, like, really hard.
Yeah, you wipe them out, and you can pursue into the supporting units, yeah.
But that's only part one, sir. But what I will do first is I will put my eagles 1 centimetre behind that brigade and hit you hard, and you can't sacrifice the archers anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's all in the combat. So the brigades are going back.
Yeah.
And they're going back into those eagles.
So do you think flyers need a higher distance they can go? They can't go within the enemy.
No, because why does it need to be flyers? It could be anything. Yeah. Dan did it with dogs really well, really well.
Yeah.
He did a similar thing. Hit my guys in the front, put dogs around the back.
Yeah. Got you.
So, but I mean, it's really stingy when your stuff isn't fighting, so your archers get mulched, and you only have to go back a couple of centimetres, and you've lost your back rank of the supporting stuff, not the guys fighting.
Yeah.
And then the Silver Helms pursue into the 3 columns and push them back again, and they die again.
Yeah. Don't let people get behind you.
Well, you can't stop flies getting behind you. So, from a position where you used to be able to sacrifice your archers, do a bit of damage, but you were still in place to fight the next turn. No, not so much.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm not sure that the 10 Silver Helms isn't still the bogeyman, but terrain definitely slowed them down. I'm not going to argue about that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're nearly up on time, aren't we? That's a strange one.
We better wrap it up. Or you can continue saying something, I suppose, but we better... I mean, that is...
No, I've got to go pick my kids up.
Yeah, and I've got to go meet my friend for a coffee.
Okay. Well, that'll be ending. Well, you take your kid with you, I guess, for a coffee. So we'll round up the rest of this, and we'll do the War Master Revolution feedback from the event, and catch up to date with the Rules Committee and stuff next time.
Yeah.
Hopefully be next week.
Tickets for my event are on sale. There's max 16 players. I'm going to be a playing 16? TO for this. So
I thought it was 32 for yours.
Sorry?
32 for yours, isn't it?
2 for yours.
32 players.
No, 16 players.
16?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, like, let's see what it sells. But I put it to 40K as a 16-player event, 8 tables. Wow. So it could be 32, I suppose. But let's see. If we sell out for 16 and there's a lot of drive for more, but we could try, I suppose. I mean,
I'm sure we had more than 16 last time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so like buy yourself a ticket, basically. I mean, I've bought a ticket myself.
Oh. Because scarcity drives demand, Paul. You economics major, you.
All right. Well, yeah. Anyway, get a ticket. Like,
well, I haven't bought a ticket, have I? I haven't bought a ticket.
Well, buy a ticket then, haven't you?
Well, I'll better buy a ticket then, okay.
Yeah. And also, I'll be the playing TO because with 2 jobs and a kid on the way, when this comes round, I want my free time to be playing the game. And I will come out and sort out all rules and disputes, of course, but I am playing in it. You know, like, that's that.
No words, sir. No words. So that was episode 54.
Yeah, 54. Yeah, if you want to add anything more to it, Barry, we will be my guest, of course. But we'll go over more War Machine Revolution stuff, like committee stuff, next week, because we'll have more to say as well next week about it.
That's it. No, I'll just I'll leave you now with the banging hard Euro hardcore anthem that is our intro and outro music. My kids right. enjoy that. So, Euro. So thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.